Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's Mellow Wednesday on the Savage Nation. Many topics to discuss. I think the lead topic really should be the fact that Obama is drunk on his own power. And he's sharing drinks as we speak with the holdouts in the Senate who are still trying to do a modicum of the people's business by saying no to this gargantuan spending bill. And I guess the best way to reach the people who are acting like drunk sailors is to act like drunk sailors. Now, of course, this is a very unsexy topic. We can't talk about the so-called stimulus bill because what is it? I mean, what are we going to say? That it's Congress doing what Congress always does, which is robbing the Treasury? What's new about that? Well, what's new about it is the amount of money and where the money is going. It has nothing to do with stimuli. It has to do with paying back supporters to, let's say, a 30th percentile. Probably 30% of the spending is plain old pork barrel spending. Now, if you think that that's good for the economy, then you know nothing about the economy nor anything much about how to stimulate people to go back to work and to invest in businesses and to work harder. I know this, that if I have to pay more taxes, I'm going to work less. A slow France is where we're going to be going very shortly. There's a big story for those of you who don't understand what really went on at Gitmo. And strangely enough, it came from someone at the Associated Press. Former Gitmo detainee described as fomenter of war. And it's a guy who was released in 07 who says he was not a fighter. He was picked up by accident by the evil American CIA bullies and that he was simply an innocent man traveling to help refugees. And he was released in 2007 thanks to the psychos from NYU, Columbia, Harvard, and all of the soft-brained law schools of America. He was not a fighter at all. He was a protector of asylees, he said. Well, it turns out he's an Al-Qaeda field commander. And not only is he an Al-Qaeda field commander now, but he is being hailed by a militant website as a veteran guerrilla and a fomenter of war. And so this shows you that liberalism is not only a mental disorder in having sympathy for those who would kill them, but liberalism is a very seriously dangerous mental disorder. And unfortunately for you in this nation, America is now run by mentally deranged liberals. Like it or not, the country is now being run by mentally deranged liberals. And where this ends, no one knows. And I've used the phrase before. It has no racial connotation. We are functioning as though this country is a black box. And the people who are running the country are sticking their hands in here and playing with the dials without knowing what they're turning. So they hear that Gitmo is no good. And it turns out that Gitmo was very good indeed for keeping them away from killing you and your children. And now about 62 of them who have been released have gone back to doing what they do best, which is plotting to blow up your daughter's nursery school. But that doesn't stop the Obama brigades from releasing more of them. And this is an example of liberalism being a mental disorder. Now, the other day, we were outraged yesterday, as a matter of fact, in the Savage Nation, that Obama spoke to the Arab street before speaking to the American street. And it bypassed the midstream media because they're in cahoots with Obama in their appeasement and their socialism. And I warned you that there'd be negative consequences to Obama's appeasement. And it happened today. And my headline on MichaelSavage.com is very clear. It is this. Obama's appeasement talk stirs Iran's Hitler. That's it. So he has a reaction already. He gave conciliation. What he got back from Iran's Hitler was drop dead, do it my way, I want more. He didn't have an appeasement speech come back to him, did he? The first day, the Hitler of Iran said, we want more. We want a change in foreign policy. We want you to give up support for Israel. We want you to withdraw troops from everywhere around the world. Now, this is a man with no power to speak of, I want you to understand. Iranian Hitler, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who makes all Iranians embarrassed just mentioning the man's name. The Iranian Hitler, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, wants to dictate American foreign policy because he smells either weakness in Obama or, frankly, something more than weakness, and I'm afraid to even say it. By the way, the House is voting right now on the so-called stimulus plan. There's no final vote yet. I guess Obama's not plied them with sufficient drinks. Also on my website, MichaelSavage.com, is this story, and this is a sad one. Bush rejected clemency for Duke Cunningham in the last day of his regime. He could have given Duke Cunningham clemency, but he didn't. Why he didn't do it is anyone's guess. I can hazard guesses as to why. I think it has to do with the fact that Randy Duke Cunningham is a true war hero, and the last thing Bush wants to do is look like he cares about the military. We have breaking news. The stimulus bill just passed the House. America is now dead. America is now over. We have become a banana republic. There is no Republican Party. It just happened moments ago in the Savage Nation. You may as well be the Frenchman in the movie after the Germans took over Paris, because as far as I am concerned, there's no way back from this disaster that was started by George Bush. And make no mistake about it, the Republican gangsters are equally to blame as the Democrat gangsters, with the exception of possibly 5 to 10 Republican congressmen who still understand what fiscal conservatism means. There fundamentally is nothing but a socialist government right now, and we are bleeding, and we're going to continue bleeding, and there's no way back from this disaster. So Obama has won a huge victory. He's going to be able to pay the gangsters, the gangbangers in the street in Acorn, $5 billion, the gangbangers who intimidated voters at the booths, who voted numerous times, who registered the dead, who registered animals to vote, actual animals. They are now being rewarded with $5 billion, which means that we have become, I would not say we have become Venezuela. I would say we become more like, almost like, a South American country of the order of Bolivia. The vote was 244 to 188, $819 billion, at least $300 billion of it, pork barrel spending, having nothing to do with the economic meltdown. And this is what you got when you elected this lame-brain left-wing fanatic, Barack Hussein Obama. So you have 6 executive orders in a week. You have the biggest pork barrel spending in the history of America. You have the appeasement of the Arab street. You have an incitement of Iran's Hitler. And this is all in less than 10 days. I'll be right back. Savage.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Well, you heard it first in the Savage Nation. The so-called sucker bill has just passed in Congress. It's not even up on the websites yet. Barack Hussein Obama and congressional socialists have just passed an $817 billion pork barrel spending bill that is laced with political payoffs, runaway government spending, including huge increases for welfare and a massive increase in bureaucracy. It is causing record-smashing deficits of $1.5 trillion as we know it, and that is equivalent to over 50% of the entire federal budget for fiscal 2008. There's a great article on this in the American Spectator called Good Morning Suckers by Peter Ferrara, which I will give you some insight into where this money is going. For example, the fake stimulus package, which is a boondoggle, includes $50 million for the National Endowment for the Arts. Now, how is that going to stimulate the economy? As he says, we wouldn't want our economy to get behind in the international arts competition. That's really going to make America competitive, isn't it? Another $2.1 billion is for Head Start. Head Start? Now, how does Head Start stimulate the economy? Another $2 billion is going to child care development block grants that will provide daycare. Now we're going to revive economic growth through the federal government spending billions on babysitting. Another $120 million is going to finance part-time work for seniors in community service agencies such as Acorn, where they can go see if they can stir up the dead to vote for another Democrat. Another $500 million of your money is going to be used to speed the processing of applications for Social Security disability claims. Well, that's good. And so, therefore, people with disabilities will stimulate the economy. I don't understand how disabled people are going to help stimulate the economy. If they're disabled, it means they're out of the economy. Doesn't that what it means? Isn't that what it means? Another $6 billion of your money is going to colleges and universities for important educational projects such as how to put a condom on a cucumber, sex 101, etc. $13 billion in Title I grants to provide extra academic support to help raise the achievement of students at risk of educational failure or to help all students in high-poverty schools meet challenging state academic standards, as the double talk goes. $13 billion for IDEA, that's another kind of state grants. And then there's the effort to stimulate the economy by increasing welfare spending. Now, I've not met too many people on welfare who are that productive, but $20 billion of your money has just been written off for increasing food stamps to permit some of those bums that you see in the supermarkets who pull up in fancy new cars and come in with gold chains to use food stamps, the biggest racket I've ever seen in my life. By the way, they just lifted restrictions on how long welfare dependents can receive food stamp benefits. That, of course, will stimulate nothing except more poverty. Another $1.7 billion was spent to help the homeless. So far as I know, the homeless are not a significant source of economic growth, but who knows, under Obama, they really may get to get up and go with the money and go out there and work. Another $1 billion of your money went for the low-income home energy assistance program to help low-income families pay their heating bills. Now, how is that going to stimulate the economy? You mean low-income folks are going to be able to work more because they're warm? Is that another $1 billion? A billion goes to the Community Services Block Grant. That means money for the gangbangers who helped elect Obama. Another $200 million went for senior nutrition programs, such as Meals on Wheels, in order to permit seniors to go out and gamble. Then there's another $200 million went for AmeriCorps. I don't know what that is. $5 billion went to public housing. I don't know how that stimulates economic growth. Do you know anyone in public housing who is productive? I don't. I think it retards growth, by the way, by inducing even more welfare dependency on government. But wait, it gets even better. I mean, you want me to keep reading this? Another $87 billion was spent by your government on Medicaid. Medicaid, $400 billion a year, now goes to $487 billion a year. And about, I don't know what percent of it goes to family planning services, means condoms. Isn't that, that's good. I guess somehow family planning services will help the economy somehow by increasing abortion. I guess the abortion racketeers will spend more money on trips or something. I can't figure it out. Now let's see what else the stimulus package has. $2.5 billion for the National Science Foundation, which is now being renamed the National Sex Foundation. It was found that many of their employees were spending up to 20% of their time on work online surfing sex websites. $2 billion for the National Park Service. $650 million for the U.S. Forest Service. $600 million for NASA. $800 million for Amtrak. $276 million to the State Department to upgrade and modify information technology. Look, if you want to disseminate child pornography to the people in the Homeland Security, you need to upgrade your information technology. $150 million went for maintenance work at the Smithsonian Institution. Wow. $209 million for maintenance work for the Federal Agricultural Research Service. All you got to do is ask yourself who's getting the contracts to refurbish these agencies, and you'll find out they're big contributors to either Nancy Pelosi or another Democrat. I can go down the list if you'd like me to, but here's another one. A shocking $1.1 billion for so-called federal comparative effectiveness research in regard to healthcare services. Nobody knows what that is. Nobody has any idea what that is. Nobody knows what that means, except that any product that is found to be less expensive will no longer be prescribed. They will only prescribe the most expensive drugs to as many people as possible. That's what a government bureaucracy is going to do with this. Now, if to call this spending a stimulus is a one of the greatest pieces of newspeak, double talk, double speak I've ever seen. $4.2 billion your government spent today to the Neighborhood Stabilization Fund, which provides the funds to local governments to purchase and rehab vacant housing due to foreclosure. All you got to do is watch The Sopranos to know where that money is going and up whose noses that's going. Up to $750 million may be used for a competition for nonprofit entities. I can go on and on. Acorn, you know what that is, don't you? Another $79 billion is going to the states to maintain their profligate runaway government spending, particularly for bums who run California, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. By the way, they could have balanced their budgets in these states simply by cutting off services to illegal aliens. By cutting off medical care to illegal aliens, they could have balanced their budgets. Instead, we're going to pay for medical care for illegal aliens. Well, then there are other things in the stimulus package that just passed. $3 billion. $3 billion for health care prevention and wellness programs. We don't know what that means. $2.4 billion for projects demonstrating carbon capture technology. No one knows what that is. $1 billion for technology education. Nobody knows what that is. $1.9 billion for the Energy Department for basic research into the physical sciences. Nobody knows what that means. $650 million for digital TV coupons to help Americans upgrade to digital cable television so they can get more pornography from MSLGBT. $100 million to reduce lead-based paint hazards for children in low-income housing. I guess they'll stop licking the walls once the paint is safe to lick. $1.2 billion for summer jobs for youth. I guess that'll be part of Obama's national police force that he's going to create. He'll give them all green uniforms and a club so they can go around the country and have a summer job intimidating you into voting them another raise. And on and on and on. So there it is. Earmarks were supposed to be outlawed under the liar Obama, when this is nothing but earmarks all the time. So Obama is no different than any other politician, except he's worse. He's just a bigger liar.
Savage.
Dun, 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 dee doo be dun, dun.
Obama the Magnificent has just passed the most engorged spending bill in American history. Most of it is wasteful. Well, 30% of it is estimated to be pure pork barrel spending. And, of course, I know you liberals have no shame. We understand that. Most of you are drug addicts, whether it be prescription drugs or marijuana or something worse. You don't even understand the danger you're putting yourself in. 30% of the bill is pure waste. But Obama said that it would have no earmarks. He'd be against earmarks. 30% of the bill is earmarks. So that makes Obama a liar and a fraud. A mere 8 days after Inauguration Day, Speaker Nancy Mussolini heralded a new era. She said, "The ship of state is difficult to turn," said the communist Democrat. "But that is what we must do." "That is what President Obama called us to do in his inaugural address," said Nancy Mussolini. The stimulus package just passed by a vote of 244 to 188. 11 demon cats voted against the measure, while no Republicans supported it. So there it is. There's Obama the Magnificent. And, of course, some of the money will be for job-creating projects such as highway construction, because, as you well know, Nancy has to pay back some of her supporters. But far more of the bill is going for unemployment benefits, health care, and food stamp increases, and things of that nature. And so it's a welfare state. Tens of billions of dollars going to states themselves, which of course has nothing to do with stimulus. It's just wiping out debt by creating more debt. Wiping out state debt by creating federal debt is not my idea of fiscal sanity here. It makes no sense. But what makes sense about a government that is out of control? Tell me what makes sense out of a thing like this. They're printing money. That's all they're doing. I do not understand how this is going to help save us. I do know that Obama is the greatest fraud artist in the history of the American presidency. He has right now been exposed as the greatest fraud artist in the history of the presidency. And if you want to call about that, I mean, go ahead. You can call me at 1-800-449-8255. Or you can read the stories on my website, michaelsavage.com. You know, there's an interesting article on the website that I've got to find again. Muslim House of Lords member blocks meeting with Wilders. You got to read this story. You want to see what diversity breeds? It breeds hatred. It breeds the death of democracy. And this is from the Brussels Journal. It's called Muslims in the House of Lords. And here's what they write. The House of Lords is a venerable British institution. But what does one get if one accepts Muslims in? This. A member of the Lords intended to invite her colleagues to a private meeting in a conference room in the House of Lords to meet the Dutch politician Geert Wilders, an elected member of the Dutch Parliament, to watch his controversial movie Fitna and discuss the movie and Mr. Wilders' opinions with him. Barely had the invitation been sent to all the members of the House when Lord Ahmed raised hell. He threatened to mobilize 10,000 Muslims to prevent Mr. Wilders from entering the House of Lords and threatened to take the colleague who was organizing the meeting to court. The result is that the event was canceled. Lord Ahmed immediately went to the Pakistani press and he said, "This is a victory for the Muslim community." Yes, it's a victory for the Muslim community, but it is a defeat for British democracy, where topics to which Muslims object cannot even be debated. That apparently is what one gets when one accepts Muslims into the House of Lords. Now, mind you, this guy, Lord Ahmed, is considered to be a moderate Muslim. And he was brought into political life by Tony Blair, the Labour dunce. Lord Ahmed, by the way, took his oath on the Quran, not on the Bible. He took his oath on the Quran. And that is what you get, according to this article, when you invite a Muslim into the House of Lords. You get the death of democracy. Will we see this here in America one day? Oh, yes, very soon. Very soon. If you'd like to talk about these or any other topics, I don't know if I do, frankly. I don't think I am in the mood to talk. I was a dermatologist until recently. I'm a little ditzy from the medication and the spraying and the removing. And there it is. There's Nancy Pelosi proudly in front of the check of $817 or whatever billion dollars. Stolen money. Money stolen from your children's future. How do you feel when Obama said he would have, he'd make certain that there'd be no earmarks in any spending bills when this, at least 30% of this are earmarked and complete and total pork barrel spending? Don't you liberals have any conscience? Don't you have any shame? Chicago, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. And I was just wondering, with all the wasteful spending that they keep on doing, when you think we might inevitably go to a depression, as possibly I do think.
2 years. 2 years. The bottom blows out within 2 years, and then they go to war with Iran to build up the economy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Two years, and then Pelosi will discover that the best way out of a depression is a tried-and-true method used by FDR, which is war. And I don't mean a small war in Iraq or Afghanistan. You need a real big one, which will justify shipbuilding, which will justify converting our auto assembly lines to manufacturing tanks and trucks. The only way to save the auto industry and the shipbuilding industry and the economy is to go to war. And the Democrats know that better than anybody because they're a party of war. Thank you for the call. 2 years, then war. Probably war with Iran. San Antonio, Scott, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. I actually had a question that I would like to ask you, but I also wanted to say that I think that Obama's basically just funding his base, and he's just basically paying back all those groups that put him in office.
Like, of course he is. That's how politics works. Even when the country is bankrupt, it works that way, but it works that way even more so under Obama. Only he calls it a stimulus plan, but it's a payback plan. That's all it is. It's a payback plan to the people who are mobilized for him and got out the vote. That's all. He's paying back all of the liberal groups who prayed that he would win so that their fuzzy little projects could get reinitiated. The NEA. I mean, what is funding the National Education and National Endowment for the Arts going to do for the economy? Can you explain that to me?
No, I can't.
No. All right. So there it is. That's all. There's nothing I could say. I mean, we're watching the country melt down. That's all. Obama's just the biggest fraud artist in the history of the presidency. What else can we say? He said there would be no earmarks in spending bills. He promised America he would take out earmarks if they appeared. And he just passed a bill laden with approximately 30% earmarks. So what do you think this is? What do you think this is? Gail, Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Michael, this isn't socialism. This is the road to serfdom. The future generations of America.
I know, but you didn't write that. The road to serfdom was written by whom? Do you know whom?
Hayek, yes, Hayek.
Okay.
It's an economist, H-A-Y-E-K.
Right. It was not written by Mr. Hyatt, who created the hotel chain.
No.
Look, we can joke about this. I mean, the road to serfdom has real meaning. And I believe that Obama would like to see a nation of serfs on the order of the people living in Venezuela or Bolivia, where there is no middle class. He would like to wipe out the middle class entirely, where only the rich, meaning those in politics and guys like Soros and those who put him in power, basically have any power, and the rest is just one gigantic poor nation. The middle class is going to get wiped out by Obama. Make no mistake about it, this is an attempt to destroy the middle class. Thanks for the call. Las Vegas, Corey, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Dissonant, it's a pleasure to speak with you. Just a quick comment of why President Obama is doing all these controversial executive orders right away within the first couple of days of his presidency, and it's because his approval ratings are through the roof, and because the press is so obsessed with him right now, if he can do these things and get away with it now while the press loves him, they're not going to make mention of it, how controversial it is. And that's why...
Well, that's obvious. The press is in his pocket. He owns the press. We have no independent journalism left in America, with few exceptions, the internet, of course, talk radio. But other than that, we have a government media complex, which I first defined as such in 1997. In a seminal speech before the Commonwealth Club, something that's extremely important in the history of America that has been completely overlooked by the midstream media, because they're one and the same as the government today. You understand that, don't you?
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call. Okay, so where do you want to go with this? You want to talk about it? You want to complain about it? Al Gore goes to Washington in the middle of a winter storm, ice, and he testifies on global warming. You know, if you were a caricaturist in the 18th century in England, and you were writing cartoons for a magazine called Punch, which I think existed in the 1800s, it couldn't be a better time for you than today. You have a liar, Al Gore, pushing a big lie called man-induced global warming, going to give to testify before a House assembly of legislators on the dangers of global warming in the midst of an ice storm. It doesn't get more frivolous and more absurd than this. You have a man named Barack Hussein Obama, whose origins are unknown, whose birth certificate is unknown, who has no experience whatsoever other than that of a junior senator for 2 years, who comes to power promising the world, saying there'll be no pork barrel spending, and the bill, the first major bill he passes, is laden 30% with pork. In other words, he's a liar. But again, because he owns the press, or because the press owns the government, or the government owns the press, it's hard to say at this point what it is, this will not be seen as anything but a huge victory for him rather than a huge defeat for the American people. This is a huge defeat for the American people, in my opinion. Because I don't see how printing money helps the economy. Do you? How does printing money help the economy? Pittsburgh Joe thinks he knows how. Joe, how does printing money help the economy?
Mike, it doesn't. The passage of this bill is an absolute disaster. What happened today is they sold the United States down the drain financially. We're monetizing the dollar, and we're not helping out the common man on the street. The way this economy works is by having money in people's pockets, and we're not doing it. We're sending it to...
Well, there's going to be money in the pockets of community organizers. They can buy crack.
Special interests that are gonna...
No, don't you understand? $5 billion for community organizers, they can go out and buy crack and other drugs with it. I mean, that's going to stimulate the economy, isn't it?
Yes, it will.
All right. So don't say there's no stimulus here. There is. There's going to be a celebration throughout all the cracktons of America today. You're going to hear horns blowing, and God knows what flags will be raised, but I think that all the cracktons of America will definitely be celebrating tonight. Because the drugs are going to flow very, very well all over again. I mean, certainly the stimulus is very good for that. Look, I'm not going to get upset over it because there's only so much you can do. You know, Tommy in Chicago, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. When borrowing and spending got us into this mess in the first place, they come up with a solution of more borrowing and more spending.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about George Bush. The Republican liars said that the Democrats tax and spend, right? And then we woke up to a profligate spender named George Bush who did not tax and spend, but he borrowed and spent. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely.
All right. So Obama just continues what Bush started, meaning the entire government is corrupt.
And is, Dr. Savage, does Barney Frank now get a pass that Obama's in there?
A pass to what?
Wasn't he in charge of the finance committees that oversaw Freddie Mac? And
He gets a free pass to the farmer's market in Massachusetts so he can buy acorns.
A whole bunch of those.
I'm speaking in tongues. Why do I know what Barney? We affectionately call him Barney Cork, not Barney Frank, and that's for obvious reasons. Barney Cork is a big winner today, and Barney Cork will be celebrating tonight by popping some corks. By the way, if you notice what's going on in the so-called media in New York, it's interesting to me that Kennedy, the super liberal, has trumped a black blind governor. It's an interesting observation, but it's not something you should ignore. The black blind governor, Mr. Patterson, had the audacity not to appoint a Kennedy who was totally unqualified to be a senator. Instead, he chose a conservative Democrat from upstate New York. And as a result, Murdoch's hit rag, the New York Post, has been attacking Governor Patterson mercilessly. They ran a picture of him as Pinocchio. And that is because Murdoch's rag is, as you well know, deeply enmeshed into the power structure, notably the Democrat power structure, more so than any other. And they would risk attacking a black man who is blind because he dared stand up to a Kennedy liberal. It's unbelievable to me that you don't see this. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, welcome to trickle-up poverty, a phrase I coined before others stole it in the media, and I coined it months ago. In fact, I coined it so that McCain could beat Obama, but McCain's, enemies within wouldn't let him use it, or he wouldn't use it. But trickle-up poverty would have won the debate, and we would have had that hack. I don't know if it would have been worse or better, probably a little better, who knows. But welcome to trickle-up poverty. The House has just okayed an $819 billion pork barrel spending bill. And as predicted, the government media complex is calling it a win for Obama. Now, so far as I know, this has nothing to do with a win or a loss for Obama. I thought it was about stimulating the economy through profligate spending and creating jobs. I don't know how money for the National Endowment for the Arts creates jobs, for example. I don't know how increased food stamps money and increased money for food stamps creates jobs. Can anyone explain that to me? How does increasing spending on food stamps create jobs? Maybe there's something I'm missing here. There may be some caller out there who knows how increasing money for welfare increases jobs. Are many people on welfare that you know going to go out and go to work now as a result of this? Paul in Carl Springs believes he has the answer. Paul, go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I heard that you're leading into my points.
Yes. We all know that we've been waiting for you. Since no one knows you, we've all been waiting for you.
Well, in other words, you're talking about creating jobs, and that was one of my points about why the stimulus package was passed. It's to create jobs, and I don't know what percentage of the...
Well, hold on now. Well, that's what we heard, but that's a big lie. How does spending money on food stamps create jobs? Can you explain that to me?
Well, yes. What percentage of the total stimulus amount...
No, you're asking a question when you've already made a statement. You alleged that this spending will create jobs. I'd like to know how spending money, increased spending on welfare and food stamps, for example, will create jobs.
Particular part of the spending... if it goes to the agency will hire people, and then those people will give, the food stamps or whatever to...
Oh, in other words, so more government jobs, in other words, is what you're saying. More government workers.
You mentioned the research for energy. Now, that's going to create jobs.
No, you're changing the topic. You're saying there's going to be more people giving out free cheese, and that's the kind of job that the economy needs right now to get us out of this depression, is more people handing out old cheese, government cheese?
Insurance companies and everybody, and auto dealerships and corporate welfare, so why not help the people?
Now, you're changing the topic. We know about corporate welfare. Nobody's in favor of it. But you're an Obamaite. You think he can do no wrong. I've asked you a question, and thus far you can't answer it. I'd like to know how increasing welfare spending, increasing food stamps, will create jobs. You know it's not going to create jobs.
It's helping people. It's helping Americans instead of Iraqis, and I'm all for it.
But again, you're not answering the question. You're giving me a brainwashed answer. You sound like a kid who runs around with a cell phone and thinks he knows what he's talking about because you talk to your friends all day on a cell phone yakking away, but you don't know what you're saying. Giving out welfare money does not create a job.
And that's part of the reason for the stimulus package is to help Americans. And
you know, you're blowing hot air. You think you can change your rhetoric and make sense, you're wrong. I'd like to know how increasing welfare spending creates jobs. Bums on welfare don't work. You know that, and I know that. Where are the jobs that Obama lied he was going to create with this? Okay, where are the jobs? What jobs?
Spending on energy research will hire talented people to help us out of our energy problems.
Well, what a idiotic statement that is. Talented people who, like Al Gore?
Huh?
Who's giving a speech? Al Gore is a talented man to you, isn't he?
I don't know anything about Al Gore. I don't care about Al Gore. But
you just said talented people are going to help us out of our energy problems. How? What are they going to do, produce energy on a piece of paper?
Huh?
There's a way out of our energy problems. Slope drill in the Arctic, for one. Drill wells off the coast of California for two. We don't need a bunch of left-wing hippies from the Peace Corps to sit there and get billions of dollars to come up with cockamamie plans for energy that nobody can find for the next 1,000 years. Look, Junior, go back to the drawing board, Junior. You don't know what you're talking about. You're way over your head. Obama's a liar. This is nothing but a tax and spend plan, and he's bankrupted America for good, in my opinion.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. The phone number, 800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. The website, michaelsavage.com. Dr. Savage, thanks very much for allowing me to sit in for you, taking it for the next couple of hours for Michael. Look, this subject matter remains the same. Michael set it up. I don't know what more to tell you. 30% of the stimulus bill that floated through the House today with very little opposition. The Republicans stood in line and did their job, but too little too late in my judgment. 30% of the bill is earmarks. That's what we know. That's what we established. 244-188. There were only 11 Democrats in the House of Representatives that said no. Now, this still does have to go through the Senate, but I don't know how optimistic you are after watching the John McCain campaign that you're going to get every Republican. Do you realize it takes every Republican now just to stall it? You think that's going to happen after you watch John McCain's campaign? I'm not optimistic. But that's the last shot. No Republicans voted for this today, and that's good news, but where are they? Where are their voices? There's none. There is no leadership on this front. And it's too little too late when so many of them were rallying for the shaking their pom-poms for the original. $700 billion stimulus package that cost John McCain the election. We know that. Look, you're mad about it. I'm mad about it. We're all frustrated about it. But like Michael said, what do you do about it? We sit and cross our fingers that some limp-wristed Republicans are going to stop it in the Senate. I would love to tell you that's going to happen. Let's go to Betty in New York. Betty, you're on the Savage Nation. This is Chris Stigall. Hi.
Yeah, there's no forum for the Republican speakers. I mean, Blagojevich can go on every single news network with his stupid story, but we can't get the Republicans out there telling the general public what the Democrats are doing to this country.
Well, Betty, who's leading it, though? You know, who's leading it, Betty? That's the thing. I don't know. Who would even have a microphone if they gave them the time?
I think, well, people who have it right now are the talk radio hosts. Nobody seems to in the government to care. I called my congressman. I can't even get through to him. His phone number doesn't even pick up anymore.
Well, that's just it, Betty. I mean, it's not as though they're not reaching out to Michael. I mean, you know that. He tells you that all the time. You know, Michael Savage and this audience, there is no medium, there is no audience, there is no radio show in the country like this one. And the Savage Nation audience has more impact and more influence and more ability to change the minds in Washington, D.C., but I'll guarantee you there is not a member of the House of Representatives or a member of the United States Senate that has ever reached out to this program to let their voice be heard or answer the questions of Michael Savage. I'll guarantee it hasn't happened. And it's a shame. It's a real shame. Because if they would actually take the time to listen instead of spending so much time calling you out, calling talk show hosts out, going after talk radio, and realize that this is the only avenue they've got left of support. That's all they've got. And now they're turning their back because it's easier. It's easier to go along to get along, Betty. Let's go to Tom in Norfolk. Tom, this is Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm an Obama supporter. And I believe what he's doing is right. He's reaching out to the world to show that we are going to go along with them, and we all need to be together. And
no, wait a minute, Tom. Go along with what? Go along with who?
Go along
with Ahmadinejad?
Everybody. Go along with everybody, and you know, stop the bickering, and let's all work together, or we're going to fall together. We're going to fall big time if we don't come together with all the nations of the world.
How do you come together with a nation that wants to annihilate another nation off the map, Tom? How does that happen?
Like who wants to now? Who, what, like the United States? We're the only persons, you know.
All right, okay. I don't, okay, see ya. I mean, I've done you a favor, Tom, because Michael's here. I've tolerated you far longer than he would have, I'm sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's how he got there. That's how the man's in the White House, the Toms of the world. I don't know what Joe's in Chicago. Joe, this is Chris in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Joe, let's see what we can do here. Hi, Joe.
Okay, hi. Listen, where are the Republicans? Why aren't they filibustering like the Democrats did to Bush at every step, you know, stopping his judges and whatever? Why aren't they doing that? Can you answer that?
No. They've never had it in them. They've never had it in them to be confrontational. They don't know how. They think it's bad form or something. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. They'd rather come after you, Joe. They'd rather come after talk radio. Like I said, it is inexplicable to me. There is, and you know, by the way, I think it was Betty who said a little while ago, and thanks for the call, Joe. It was Betty who said a little while ago that they're, you know, there's no forum for them. That's not true. They're attacking the forum they have out there. They're attacking talk radio instead of calling in and explaining to you why it is they're going along to get along. Where were they? It's too little too late anyway. I mean, I'm a little bored now with the campaign that they're anti-stimulus package, anti-Obama now. You know, where were they leading up to this campaign? It's too damn little too late. By the way, if you're in California, how about this? This is what happens when you send your money into irresponsible liberals. It's criminal what's going on out there. I don't know if you heard that tax refunds are now on hold for Californians. ABC is reporting that tax refunds are now on hold if you live in California for the first time in the state's history. That's according to the state controller's office. And here's the quote. Unfortunately, we've asked the California Franchise Tax Board not to send over tax refund claims beginning today because we'll not be able to process them and have them out the door by February 1st. They're keeping your tax money. Do you hear this? The controller's office estimates the delay in tax refunds will free up $1.99 billion over the next... Well, isn't that nice? It'll pay for education, debt service, and other payments. Isn't that nice? Californians, they're hanging on to your money now to pay for education, debt service, and other payments that legally have first claim to state funds. This is why we should pay our own taxes directly. No withholdings. Shouldn't come out of your check. They can't be trusted. They cannot be trusted. And this is a microcosm. California is what's going to happen to the U.S. taxpayer. Look out, baby. Here it comes. California is the example. The federal government is going trillions into debt, and it started with a pen stroke today on the House side. Now, of course, the difference is, on the federal level, hey, they can just spit money out of the printing press anytime they want. When they can't pay the bills, just crank the old printing press up, make some more money. Go to Ben in Mississippi. Ben, it's Chris, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Take it away.
Thank you, Chris. The topic is comparative government. I have a very good friend who happens to be a New Zealander, and we have some knockdown, drag-out arguments because New Zealand has a nationalized healthcare system, but be that as it may, he has given me quite an interesting education in the history of New Zealand after the government discovered that it had gone bankrupt. And the politicians in New Zealand were honest enough with the people of New Zealand to tell them that their government was bankrupt, and they devised the methods that were necessary to pull the government out of the red and into the black.
Yeah, Ben, thank you. You know, your broader point, though, Ben, and I appreciate the phone call. The broader point is international travel. If anybody does it, if anybody's taken a moment to travel outside of this country and travel to a pure communist or a pure socialist nation, it's very quickly understood. Anybody that's lived for any period of time, I've had friends that have lived in France, and certainly people that have visited island nations, South America. Michael talks about it all the time, the foreign nations he's visited. If you see socialism in progress, if you see government and central planning in progress, you know it's a colossal failure. There is nobody that has lived in this state that we're approaching today with central planning and big government printing the money and handing out the health care and handing out the benefits. It has never worked. And everyone that has ever participated, particularly when you talk about the health care systems, people lose their lives waiting in line with their number, like they're, checking into the DMV for a new heart. Now, it's very, very difficult to have a sense of optimism about this when you know that the only thing this hinges on is the Republican leadership, if you want to call that, in the Senate. By the way, speaking of Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, the guy that's leading the Republican, did you hear this? He's blaming Bush. He's out there saying, boy, I'm glad Bush is gone. What a heavy load we carried, as though he wasn't responsible for it. You know, never forget these Republicans. They're the same people that pushed the original $700 billion. I can't get past that. They have the audacity to pin this solely on the outgoing president. Not that he wasn't culpable, don't misunderstand. But for these senators to act like their hands were clean and there was nothing they could do? The first so-called stimulus package was more reckless than this one. At least we had a couple of days to peek into this one. We don't even know where half the 350 went. All right, the number is 800-449-8255. 800-449-8255. This is Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage, and this is the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255. So the stimulus package passes the House. And Barack Obama's already out drinking, inviting Republican. No kidding. This is the story. Democrat, Republican lawmakers coming over for cocktails tonight. I'll say about two dozen cozy key members of Congress invited to the executive mansion tonight. The guest list includes six House Democrats, six House Republicans, five senators from each party. Suppose Barney Frank will get to go. What happens when he has too much to drink? I shudder to think. Actually, what happens when somebody else has too much to drink around him? That's when you shudder. All right, 800-449-8255. Whatever's on your mind. I'm not optimistic. The Senate's all that stands in its way. And do you think Olympia Snow in Maine is going to say no to the stimulus? Don't hold your breath. Tom's in Georgia. And we'll start there. Tom, thanks for listening to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Chris, I think we just witnessed the office of the highest of the land by votes for 2012.
Well, sure. That's what the whole thing's about. Look, with 30% of this bill, probably more in total earmarks. Do you know how long it takes? Have you really stopped to think? Has anyone really stopped to think about what it takes to get this government infusion of money into the so-called shovel-ready programs they've been talking about? If you know anything, even at a local level, about your local government, consider how long it takes your city council, wherever it is you may live, to get a sidewalk poured or fixed in front of your house. Now, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, only on the size and scope of the federal government, which will then cut a check to a state, which will then cut a check to a city, which will then, at some point, eventually. That's why so much of this stupid bill, it has no intention of seeing the light of day for literally decades in some instances. Most of this money won't be spent, the bulk of it won't be spent for years and years to come. That's the sham of this. And it's just pouring into all the unionized, bureaucratic, bloated. It's just more of the same government handout. I heard a guy talking to Michael tonight. He said, "Well, of course, food stamps are going to stimulate the economy. You got to hire people to hand out the food stamps." If that's not the dumbest logic I've ever heard, you got to hire government workers to hand out free government money. Linda's in Michigan. Linda, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
I feel that Obama is the undertaker for America. Bill Clinton was the casket salesman. George Bush drove the hearse. And Nancy Pelosi, the funeral director. And, let's see, Hillary, she did the beautician work on the corpse, make it smooth it over a little bit.
Yeah, now they're all getting embalmed tonight at the White House to celebrate, I guess.
Very good, yes.
Thank you, Linda. Trying to finish it off there. You know, people ask me why. You know, where was the press? Why weren't they digging? A 600-page bill, why didn't they hear more about it? What was in it? Why didn't we get time to know about it? Well, first it was rushed. But look, when you get stories out of the New York Times, did you see this stupid... For Iraqi journalists, free press versus free land. The New York Times is actually whining and complaining about the mistreatment of journalists by the Iraqi government. Let me read a little of this to you, and you'll understand. When the New York Times is writing like, at a recent meeting with the Iraqi Journalist Union, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki made a pledge that would have scandalized Iraqi's American counterparts. The government would give plots of land to thousands of journalists for a nominal price or possibly even free. The government has been pledging to give land to journalists in Iraq for years, and there are doubts as to whether or not it will really happen. A government spokesman said the process was going forward and the current plan was to offer plots all over the country to as many journalists in the union as possible. The union. Used to be that journalists worked for the government, as you know, before the American troop invasion of Iraq. And like other government employees, including doctors and teachers, they were all well-paid, writes the New York Times, and had secure jobs, pensions, and other benefits. The New York Times is pining away for the days that journalists in Iraq worked for the government. Well, now, isn't this interesting? New York Times going belly up. Print media all over the country going belly up. You don't think they wouldn't like to lap at a stimulus package? You bet they would. And what would that mean? Government bailout of money of the press? They're already doing his bidding. They're happy to do a little more. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation at 800-449-8255. Of course, on everybody's mind, really, is the 819. Some are saying 900 billion. Some are saying a trillion. You know, what's a few billion between friends when it's all said and done? This passed the House pretty handily, 244 to 188. Of course, Michael's been sounding the alarm on this thing and telling you why it's full of weight. We know 30% of the bill, at least, is earmarks. You know, and Michael brought it up. He started the show with the question. I'd love the answer. We heard from Barack Obama, if there were any earmarks in this bill, he would not sign it. He'd veto it, as a matter of fact. That was his pledge. I've heard other senators since, on the Democrat side, say that was what they intended to do. If there were any earmarks, if there was any attempt to load this thing up with pork, well, that's all this is. It's nothing but... I swear to you, I don't know. I can't. I'd love to find you Obama people now. I want you to tell me. I need somebody to call 800-449-8255 and justify this. Justify what's going on here. Tell me why it makes sense to you and how you think this is going to work. Do you know with the single stroke of a pen, by the end of this month, by the middle of next, depending upon how you get paid, more money could be put in your paycheck tomorrow, in some cases, with the stroke of a pen. But no, there is a limit to how successful you can be in the United States of America, and apparently it floated somewhere between $100,000 and $250,000 a year, depending on the figure you heard during the campaign. So, you know, if you're out there and you've got, you know, more than a couple of zeros in your check at the end of the month, well, hang on tight, because they're coming after you. You've got too much. Who in their cotton-picking mind, I ask you, who believes $819 billion worth of spending from the federal government, you know, on contraception and food stamps and sodding them all. Who believes that is better for us as a collective whole than just simply cutting taxes? I mean, I'm not an economist. Don't pretend to be. But it's a very easy equation for me. I mean, where are the Obama people to tell me that this makes sense, more sense, than just a simple across-the-board tax cut so every last one of us has a little more money in our pocket? I don't know. I guess we go back to the belly of the beast. Maybe Joe in Chicago can explain what's going on. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael tonight.
Yeah, a couple points. One is, I think people keep forgetting, Obama learned his politics in Chicago. Every city vote there is worth 50. Every city job is worth at least 50 votes. Brothers, sisters, brother-in-laws, mothers, et cetera, for starters. The second one is, if it's the shovel-ready method, then that's what's going to get passed, because what we have are Democrats.
Yeah, can you go ahead and cut that through that for us, Joe? Tell people what shovel-ready means to you. You've seen shovel-ready in Chicago, I'm sure, for a very long time. What does that mean to you, Joe, when you hear shovel-ready?
I think, you know, those are, to me, that means government handouts, government bailouts, as opposed to cutting the taxes, which we should do, especially the corporate tax, the people that give jobs to people. Now,
That's exactly right. You know what shovel-ready means? It means money into the pockets of shovel-leaning. The only thing that's shovel-ready about government work is that they're going to lean on the shovel. They're ready to lean. That's what government workers generally do, and I don't mean to castigate them all. There are a few out there that do it well, but let's be very, very candid. From city to state to county to federal, there are so many people just leaning on a shovel. Shovel-ready means ready to prop up the shovel so you can keep making your... Who desires making their money from the federal government? Who wakes up and says, I can't wait to get my government check. I can't wait to get my money from government, rather than go out and make their own? Who likes waking up realizing that they'll only grow so big in a salary or in their success? Their level. That's what I've never understood about union thinking. Never understood it. It's as though there's this safety in numbers mentality. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Hey, and you know what? I've been a yes, I can guy. I always have been. I don't want you to tell me yes, we all the time. I don't want to be shovel ready. I don't want to lean on a shovel. I don't want you to guarantee me, as long as I mind my manners and vote for the right guy, I'll continue to secure a set fee for the rest of my life from the government. I'd prefer to go out and make my own way. I don't know. I guess it's just easier to you know, suckle off the government teat and lean on the shovel, Joe. I don't know. Let's go to Chicago. Let's try Chicago again. I just got to go back to the place where this guy was born. And by the way, let's go to Robin. Robin, it's Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Do you know, Robin, the tax rate in Chicago? Do people realize where this guy came from, what he's authored and what he's part of? How costly is it to live in your town, Robin?
Oh, it's very costly. We have one of the high, I think maybe the highest tax in the nation right now. I called because I think that we have like a whole new paradigm going on here that conservatives really can't get. I mean, I really think this is a post-nationalist country now. We're not even a country. He is not the U.S. president. I think he's a global leader. He made that perfectly clear in Berlin. And his pork barrel spending, I mean, this is all about 20 years of discipleship under Jeremiah Wright, black supremacy, hatred of whites, which is in the Abomination book. And be asking ourselves what he's doing for our country. He hates our country. He is not.
Well, look, Robin, I don't know about what he feels for the country, but what I do know is things like Jerome talking with Michael. I heard that interview, and all he wanted to do was be heard, and no one would hear it. And now this guy. And I'm not even implying anything, Robin, when I say this. But this guy goes on Al Arabiya, and one of the first thing he says is, "Oh yeah, sure, yeah, my Muslim roots are deep. My father was a Muslim. I grew up in Indonesia, Muslim this, Muslim that. He was all completely free to share with us now all his Muslim heritage. But for how many years? 2 years. We watched this guy run, and if you so much as finished Hussein behind the H when you said Barack H. Obama, you know, it was akin to cross burning or something. And now suddenly, oh, he's proud, just pleased as punch to tell the Arab street all he's about and his Muslim roots and his Muslim heritage and who he is and where he came from. By the way, from Reuters today, and thank you, Robin, for the call, the Taliban told U.S. President Barack Obama Tuesday his plan to close Guantanamo Bay was a positive step. What did that make you feel great? Stop and think about what I just read to you. The Taliban issued a statement calling our president's behavior a positive step. Ernest in New York. WOR. Ernest, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Just fine, thanks.
Hey, I voted for Obama. I'm just really confused with this whole stimulus package. It doesn't coincide with anything that was in his campaign. And one other question, back to one thing that Savage was hitting on, this welfare thing. Is it welfare still, or is it just welfare sitting here behind?
Well, now, before we get into the specifics of that, Ernest, I want to talk to you about something very important you just said, because I want to explore this with you. You voted for Obama, and now you feel let down? Is that what you're telling me, or you feel you're not getting? I mean, we're only 10 days in, man. We're not even into 2 weeks with this guy, and you're telling me already you see that this is not the guy you voted for?
That's 100% right. Maybe it went to his head. I don't know what's going on. You know,
what did you think you were going to get with him? And I mean it. I'm not beating up on you. I'm trying to get in your head. What did you think you were going to get with Obama?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, you know, he walked the line of conservatism. I'm a registered Republican, but he walked the line of conservatism.
Well, now, Ernest, hang on, Ernest. Maybe you're going to explain that, but I can't. What in the world did you see in him at any point that was conservative?
Well, it's not pure conservatism. He walked the line. So instead of saying he's against abortion, he said, "Let's stop abortions." I'm for stopping abortions. You know, when he talked about spending, he talked about, you know, trying to stop pork barrel spending. I'm for that. You know,
Ernest, he did. I mean, have you seen what the Vatican said to him about today? I mean, the Vatican and the Pope now have taken an official position that this guy's the most dangerous president they've ever seen in terms of abortion. One of his first items of business was to lift the Mexico City ban. Now we're handing out abortion money to international countries like candy at a parade, Ernest. I mean, he was never – this guy had the most left of center out there. I mean, people like Barbara Boxer didn't stand with positions like his in the state legislature, Ernest, on abortion. I mean, if there's one thing this guy wasn't, it was anti-abortion or pro-life.
Right. But, you know, he made that perception to the people. He said, I'm for stopping abortions. You know, he said, I want to cut the number of abortions per year. You know, the problem with I have with a lot of government is that everything's Republican, Democrat. I just wish we could all get down to common sense.
Well, sure. And you're never going to hear Michael say Republican, Democrat. And I can't either anymore. I was a guy that thought I was a Republican until I saw them just fold. I mean, they're just sitting around wetting themselves and rocking in the corner, Ernest. There's no leadership there. But I almost tend to not believe you. Sound like a very smart guy. I can't honestly believe you were that duped by this guy. Were you really?
I didn't have a good candidate to vote for on the Republican side. Didn't have.
Well. There's that. I can't argue that, Ernest. I can't argue that. Okay, thanks for the call. There is no debating that point. I don't know. You wonder how many the importance of being earnest. How many Ernests were there out there like that? How many people thought, what the hell? Roll the dice. Take a chance. Well, heck of a gamble, wasn't it? I'd rather lose my house in Vegas than this gamble. Let's try Jake in Portland. Jake, my name's Chris, in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Pleasure, Chris. Good talking to you. Listen, you got my head spinning with the California rebate halt and then that Taliban statement. But earlier you were wondering, where are the Republican forums? And they're more than welcome to show up on this show. I've heard the offer. But the problem is they know they're going to get their butt on a platter because we're still the boss. And they know that if they had to answer to the boss over 10 million people, they're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
And well, I heard a few of them today. I heard a few congressmen who made some headlines, hopping around to some other shows where I guess they felt they were going to have a more friendly reception and bow at the altar and beg and plead with them and their audiences to forgive them and understand them. But, you know, and look, to the House side's credit, the House Republicans, again, too little too late, Jake, they did the right thing today. I don't know where they were during the original stimulus package, if that's what you want to call it, before the election. I don't know where they went, but, you know, it all falls on the Republicans now. But you're precisely right, Jake. Savage calls for these people to come on this show and talk to arguably the most independent, conservative-minded audience in all of talk radio regularly, and they won't come here. And they won't – there's a very good reason why they won't do it, and it's because they get the intellectual heft and the honest peppering they deserve. They can't handle it. It's all about party. They've said it, and they've been caught. There was a quote today. There was a quote from some congressman down in Georgia. He said it was about protecting the party. Well, there's no party left. There's no party left to protect, Jake.
They're in shambles, and I don't know where it's going to go.
What do you want to see them do? What do you want to see? Is there such a thing? Can a Republican Party be revived? Can the conservative mindset take root and grow if it's sold properly or not? Or do you think that's just gone?
Some people think it's gone, but if there would be a candidate, a person that could articulate him or herself, but particularly a himself, a male that can get out there and put out a message that's clear and concise. One of the biggest problems with President Bush was his ability or lack thereof to make a point. And secondly, if that person will go back to the conservative roots of the Republican Party, what it was back in the Eisenhower era, or even go back to the Reagan era, and start drumming up the fact that America is a great country. We're going where Carter left America, and that was where Americans were feeling bad about their success and bad about what it was like to be an American. And we need someone to turn us back on to being Americans again and fixing our problems with ourselves and not with the government. And that's why Reagan did so well.
Now, Jake, you're in Portland. You must feel like the last man standing. I appreciate the phone call on the Savage Nation. All right, 800-449-TALK is the phone number, 800-449-8255. This is Chris Stegall, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage. Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. So the call's almost entirely about the bailout tonight. It's on everybody's mind. I know. We just saw $819 billion, really closer to $1 trillion of our money, yours and mine, gone. Poof. The only thing that stands in its way are the limp-wristed cologne and cufflinks set in the United States Senate. You think John McCain is going to vote no on this? I'll bet you he doesn't. He's on Fox News Sunday, I think it was, with Wallace saying, well, it doesn't do enough to create jobs. Senator, it's not your job to create jobs. That's your problem. You've never gotten it. John McCain could have won this election, plain and simple, if he'd said no to the original bailout. 60%. All the polls say it. Don't buy into this. You're hearing it here. In fact, I would love to hear from you. 800-449-8255. You Obama people, you call. You call and tell me that you're disappointed in this guy. I know you are. 60%+ of the country, not Democrats, not Republicans, the country, the taxpayer, they're worried. They're frightened, and they dislike the idea of this kind of bloated, massive spending. They hate it. And do you think any of the people in Washington, D.C. care? No. No, they don't. Because they figure ultimately with time, give it a couple of years, we'll get a bunch of people on the government dole. The shovel-ready crowd, the shovel-ready projects. Shovel-leaning, that's what I'm calling them. The shovel-leaning projects, that's where they're funded. And then there's this. This is rich. The new tax cheat that's heading the IRS, Tim Geithner. You ready for this story? The White House now defending Geithner because right out of the gate, his first item of business, I know this will shock you. If you're a Savage Nation listener, you know Savage has been all over the ne'er-do-wells in the Treasury, the thieves of Wall Street, the robber barons in the most classic sense of the word. It was Paulson first. Geithner follows close behind with his new appointment. Mark Patterson, you heard about this one? An ex-lobbyist from Class Goldman Sachs. The new chief of staff for Tim Geithner, the tax cheat, is named Mark Patterson, an ex-lobbyist from Goldman Sachs. I mean, there's a host of things we could talk about here, not the least of which, there's another lie, another Obama lie. You Obama people, where are you? Please defend this to me. Tell me how in the world you look yourself in the mirror today and say, this is the guy I voted for back on in early November. I don't know what you thought you were getting, but you can't possibly, if you have any modicum of honesty left in your soul, you can't possibly tell me this is what you wanted. The very people that brought the economy to its knees are now running it. The very people that have cheated the tax system are now running it. This is what your dream was? This is yes, we can? This was your hope? Surely not. I mean, I'm begging for somebody to tell me what it is they think they were getting with Barack Obama, and how sorry are you now? San Francisco, Pat. I'm Chris, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Oh, hi, Chris. I did not vote for Obama, but really quickly, I was going to say there still might be hope. If people burn up the lines, I called today. Of course, I did call Barbara Boxer and Feinstein. They're Democrats. They don't really care. So I brought up and called as many Republican senators as I could. All the people I spoke to were extremely nice on the phone, took my message. I said I wanted to try to adopt a senator because mine don't care. And if the, in 2012 the Republicans want to get back in, they need to develop a stiff backbone. There still is hope that it can be defeated. If not, they need to make it known that they're not voting for this when it hits the Senate. People need to burn up the lines.
Well, I agree with you. And I appreciate the optimism. And I hope that's all you can do is keep your fingers crossed. Thanks for the call. But look, I know a few of these people. They're heading for higher office here eventually. There are a couple in my home state, in my backyard. There's a senator that won't be coming back. He's wanting to seek higher office, and these people, when they decide they're going to retire or bail, I think they're losing something like four Republicans that are done in 2010. Do you think they care at this point if it means a great lobbying job when they're done? I wish I could tell you it didn't, but I know these people too well. Anything to get ahead, anything to make a buck, anything to get their own. Career politicians, when it's all said and done, they quickly forget When lobbyists start greasing the wheels and they start working with the Timothy Geithners of the world, they quickly forget who they're working for. It's a sad day, but yeah, Pat, I'll keep my fingers crossed with you. Maybe the Senate can do something about it. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. It's a pleasure, Michael. Thanks for the opportunity on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thanks for the opportunity to be here. And the number is 800-449-8255 if you'd like to be a part of it. Everybody talking stimulus, so-called stimulus that passed the House with only a limit, 11 Democrats saying no. There are still 11 Democrats out there honest enough to see through selling the nation completely out. There's 11 of them. So I guess as long as there's 11, you can't whitewash the entire party yet, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to give you Obama people something to cling to. Because you sure as hell can't justify what happened today. 244 to 188, overwhelming passage of an $819 billion supposed stimulus bill, 30% of which is nothing but bloated federal spending to prop up a bunch of shovel-leaning government workers or create some new ones. I got to tell you, I suppose if there's a silver lining, and I don't know that there is, it's so too little too late here, but if there's a silver lining, at least Republicans today, for the first time in a very long time, made Democrats own this bill. Not a single Republican supported it. Now, who's up next? The spine-challenged Senate. How optimistic are you that every Republican in the Senate is going to do their job? If every Republican, and that has to be everyone. And if you like those odds, well, stay away from Vegas. But every senator, every Republican senator now has to do what the Republicans in the House did just to put the brakes on this thing. But bottom line, you know, Republicans have been too stupid to connect with their base. You, the Savage Nation, it's not hard. You don't want government running your life. And the only leadership coming out of Washington is socialists. And the only leadership coming for the conservatives is Michael Savage. All right, so I've been asking. I have been dying to know, who is it out there that supported Barack Obama that today is celebrating Yahoo? Yes, this is exactly what we voted for. This was the hope and the change we all wanted. I've yet to hear it. I don't see it. It's as though everybody that was Yes We Canning on the mall 8-9 days ago, I don't know where they went. Guess they're sitting around waiting for the check in the mail or something. Tom's in Houston. I suppose he's one. Tom, let's try it out on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Michael. Welcome.
How you doing, Chris? Can you hear me?
I'm great. Yeah, I can. Thank you for the call. What's up?
Well, the reason why I'm calling is I support my president. He's elected fair and square, and let's go forward. You talk about wasteful spending. Well, how about wasteful banking bailout? You know, maybe the two.
Absolutely. See, I don't disagree, though. See, that's the difference, Tom. Obama people don't have the intellectual honesty to call something a bad bill, call something bad legislation, bad for our country when he does it. I was able to do it. Savage was able to do it. Talk radio was able to call the president and Paulson and the thieves, just like this batch, out when they tried to shove through the first stimulus bill. We called it. But the problem is Obama people aren't honest enough to try to put the brakes on this, because Obama can do no wrong, Tom, And it's not enough to say he's our president, we've got to support him. The president is determined to bankrupt the country. Now, why would anyone with a brain back that? I mean, if you banked at a bank for years and you found out it was going under, would you back your bank? Or would you pull your money out? Look at the stock market, Tom. Look at what the stock market's doing. They don't trust him. They're looking for leadership. They don't trust him. People are running from the market. We have a $1 trillion deficit. And the president says we need to borrow another trillion. Now, he didn't run that way, Tom. That's not what he was promising. Yes, we can. We're on it. We got promising deficits for years to come in the trillions. Did he promise that? Would he have gotten elected? Yes, we can, with promising trillions of dollars in deficits for years to come. You didn't hear this. He ran on tax cuts, which, by the way, were lies. But, you know, he's governing with your money. And that's $1 trillion that maybe you and I, while we're alive, won't have to pay. But certainly your loved ones, your younger kids, your grandkids. I don't support that. I don't back that. Just because he's the president, that's not good enough.
Well, he's my president, and I back him.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. You stand corrected. I've heard from at least two. Los Angeles, Carlos. I'm Chris in for Michael. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Maybe change the subject up real quick. I'm wondering, what's going on with these car chases? Why do they allow them to go on the way they are? It looks like the police's hands are tied, like no more barricades.
Oh, no. You know, listen, Carlos, anything to distract, my man. Anything to distract, Carlos. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I was actually just before I came on the air, the People's House just passed an $819 billion stimulus bill. And do you know what's trumped it now on the Fox News website? A U-Haul truck is in a police chase. Anything to distract. Blago. Governor Blago. Boy, that's hot news. Ooh, let's see. Greta Van Susteren with another hot Blago investigation. You know, Geraldo Rivera out talking to Rod Blagojevich. Who cares about that clown? This is news now. The U-Haul truck is out in Los Angeles in a police chase. Yeah, yesterday's news. $819 billion. Oh, hum. Not interested in that anymore. They're playing you for suckers. I tell you, we are it. We're it. You, me, Michael Savage. It. We're it. And if it's not us, it's... All right. Melissa in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Melissa.
Toward the gentleman that you had on a while ago that said we needed to go along to get along. There were people in Germany that were going along to get along with Hitler. But I guess they couldn't smell the burning bodies in the concentration camps because they were going along to get along. At what cost are we going to go along to get along is my question.
Well, look, Melissa, that's the chic thing. That's nouveau now. You can't be critical because it's just too, it's not in. It's not the thing to do. I was just talking during the break here. Do you know that at least in my in my time of being on the air since George W. Bush was in office, do you know I've had more hate mail in the last 10 days than I have had in the entire Bush administration? I know 8 years of George W. Bush, and in the last 10 days, I have had more hate mail. And it's coming from people who voted for this man. It's coming from liberals who now have the House loaded up and virtual control of the Senate. They've got their guy. They've got everything they want. And it's not enough until you're shut up, Melissa. Until Michael Savage is shut up. It's never enough for them. Dissent. Oh, dissent's American. Dissent is patriotic. To dance on the flag and burn it before the Supreme Court. You know, abort, baby boy, that's all freedom. That's everything's freedom with these people. Freedom this, freedom that. The freedom not to be offended. But boy, if you don't go along to get along, if you dare challenge, you know, the almighty Obama, then you know, something's run afoul. It really is. It's an eerie, eerie era. I'm not going to fall into the trap of calling him, you know, Hitler. I know there's nothing more the Huffington Post people of the world would love than to hear talk radio railing that this guy's the next leader of the new Third Reich. I'm not going that far. But I will tell you, it is awfully disturbing to me that the first item of business for this guy is to go on Al Arabiya and to get kudos from the Taliban for pizza. Kudos from the Taliban today. He gets it. Thanks for the call. I can't read this story enough just to underscore what we're dealing with here. The Taliban told Obama yesterday his plan to close Gitmo was a positive step. Did you ever dream in a million years the people linked to slaughtering 3,000 Americans would tell our president, hey, good work? Think what I just said to you. The very people with blood, American blood on their hands, just gave a thumbs up to our new president. What a proud day. All right, we've got another Obama supporter that feels duped. I'm trying to get into the head, and I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to figure out what did it for you and what's changed your mind. Derek in San Francisco. I'm Chris, in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Hi, Derek. Derek, you there? All right, gone. Let's go to Claudia in Portland on the Savage Nation. Hi, Claudia.
Hello. My point is that we cannot expect Obama to do anything right. Why do we want to continually think that he is going to tell us one thing, that he's going to tell us the truth? He hasn't yet stood up for anything he has promised.
Did you think he would? Were you one of these people that thought he might?
No. The man is, his premise is completely off base. For to be the president of this United States. I come from a communist country. What he's doing and his rhetoric resembles everything I heard since I was a young child living in that oppressive government. And today, I cannot tell you how troubled I am and how people in my category are troubled about this whole that he is the president of this United States.
No, educate us, Claudia. There are a lot of us that maybe don't know what you're talking about. Educate us a little bit. I'd like to hear. How about that socialized medicine, government health care for all? How'd that work out for you, Claudia?
Well, older people after 60 years old were not treated anymore because that means they were no longer valuable to society, and they were left to die without treatment. My grandmother was one of those. Okay. Then when young children were born without, handicap, do you know we never saw handicapped children in our streets because they're all in sanatoria. Okay.
Hey, the Mexico City ban lifted, Claudia. How's that? Does that sound familiar, Claudia? The abortion ban lifted, abortions for all worldwide, thanks to United States taxpayers. How's that sound? Does that sound hauntingly familiar to what you just described?
Oh, absolutely. But the point is, the president, when he says something, you must expect that he says he means to do just the opposite.
And Claudia, talk about a press who is all too willing to give cover to their fearless leader. Talk about that. I'm sure you remember hearing nothing but glowing reviews from the press that covered your fearless leader.
Well, the point was that when Obama said to the Republican, look, if you're not going to agree with me and you keep listening to this famous talk show host, you're not going to get anywhere with me. That was a threat. Okay? And that was his power, his authority, exercising his authority over how the Republicans or the conservatives are going to work with him. And if you don't work with him on those terms, you better be afraid for your position. Okay.
Well, Claudia, you speak from experience, Claudia. You speak from experience. I mean, if you're not going to trust Claudia, who's seen it and lived it, then I suppose you're not going to trust me, and you may as well stop listening. This is Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, it's just a real thrill, and I appreciate you allowing me to be here for you. The number is 800-449-TALK, 800-449-8255. What do you want me to say, that Obama has lied to you at every turn? If you're an Obama sycophant, you've been lied to? Not that you weren't warned, amply warned, but he's appointing lobbyists all around him. He's promising deficit spending for years to come. What's optimistic? Where's your hope? Where's your hope button? You still got your little hope sticker on your bumper? Sell it. Come on. Make me feel it. Bring back Yes We Can. Tell me why today, $819 billion later, you're still saying Yes We Can. Modesto, Gene, apparently still doing so out there. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Chris.
I'm keeping hope alive, Keith. Chris, hey, this is what I don't get is that for 8 years we had Republicans or and so-called conservatives backing a president, and we're in a war where we're spending $10 billion with a B, dollars a month.
Well, now, wait a minute, Gene. Now, Gene, wait a minute. Are you actually even going to quibble with the amount of money being spent in the Iraq war compared to what just happened today?
Yeah, well, the point that I'm trying to make is that this man's trying to do something to build the infrastructure of our country, not Iraq. You understand what I'm saying?
I know what you think you're saying, but I'm asking you, how is that going to help you or me? One iota.
To better my road. To make my school a little bit better for my kid to go to make it a little safer. There's a ton of things that are in his program or in his bill that he wants to do that would help not just stimulate our country, but make it a little bit better place to live versus living like we're in Tijuana or up Iraq.
No, wait a minute. This is called a stimulus bill, so what's it going to stimulate, Gene?
Well, you have jobs. Okay, now hang on. Real quick, if you follow If the roads are a little bit better, if we have a little bit better transportation, so I can get to point A to point B a little bit faster, then maybe my numbers to getting from point A to point B might be a little bit better. I might be able to versus me spending an hour and a half on the road going to and from work every day, I might spend a half hour every day. That making my work.
Now wait, Gene, I love you, buddy, and you seem like a smart guy, but I got to tell you, you're telling me that time management is stimulus?
There's a lot of other aspects to this bill that I think that you're not looking at.
Give me a job. Create a job for me, man. Hope and change. 3 million jobs. Create. Tell me. Stimulate me, man. Stimulate it.
Okay, well, look, I happen to be a plumber, okay? And I look at this as an opportunity not only for the country to have, like I said, a better infrastructure, which has been overlooked, and you've heard the sayings for 30 years, president after president after president, back past Reagan, has overlooked our infrastructure. We haven't had any kind of plan or building on aqueducts. I don't know where you live at, but here in California, our water shortages are horrible. We don't have any water storages here. Our lakes are bone dry.
But, right? Gene, you're a plumber. What's that do for you? What's the lake? What's the road? What are you talking about? What's it do for you as the plumber, Gene?
Yeah, okay, well, the lake and the road, let's go back to the schools, the libraries, the hospitals, all the other things that need to be built. When we're building these, what we're doing is we're creating jobs to build these because you had this mass exodus of jobs that were relocated into other aspects of our government.
Gene, I got to run. You're a smart guy. God love you. I know you're trying. I know you're trying, but you're a plumber, and I know you want to believe, and I know you want to buy into it. There's virtually no infrastructure money in this thing. Virtually none. You got to read the bill. You were lied to, Gene. You were lied to. You're a smart guy. I'm sorry. Savage Nation.
The main message I have is that the statistics every day underscore the urgency of the economic situation. The American people expect action. They want us to put together a recovery package that puts people back to work, that creates investments that assure our long-term energy independence, an effective healthcare system, an education system that works. They want our infrastructure rebuilt. And they want it done wisely so that we're not wasting taxpayer money.
Yeah, okay, Barry. That, you know, that was cute on the campaign. He's still selling that. He still thinks he's campaigning. All right, Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. And, Michael, thanks again for the opportunity to be here. The telephone number is 800-449-TALK, 800-449-8255. He still thinks you're buying it. That's what he doesn't know. He doesn't understand that nobody believes him anymore. We're 10 days in, and we already know he's a liar. And it's that simple. I mean, I don't mean to sound juvenile about it, but let's just call it what it is. It's a lie. He's a liar. The man is surrounding himself with lobbyists, ex-Goldman Sachs guy, tax cheats. New story about Hillary Clinton. They're digging around in the finances there. They can't figure out where some money's coming from. They're tracking some kind of shady money, and there's more of that to come. Think about this. He's appointed a woman who's going to globetrot around the world while her husband gets paid millions of dollars to speak to the leaders she'll visit, to broker peace accords or hand over basketballs or whatever the Clintons do so well with hostile rogue nations. So I'm asking the question. What I want to know is, you know, 10 days into this administration, I'm wondering how many Obama sycophants are now converted. How many Obama voters said, all right, I bit, I'll admit it. This wasn't what I bargained for. Well, look, you know, $819 billion is not but a Senate vote away. How many Republican senators? How many have we got? There's they don't have the 60. The 60 was the number, right? The veto-proof majority or whatever, the filibuster-proof majority. That's what the Democrats had to have. So the Republicans have got enough power if every Republican. Now, again, I'll ask, you suppose every Republican in the Senate has the backbone that the House Republicans did today? Not a House Republican voted for this. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not patting Republicans on the back because I don't know where they were the original $700 billion stimulus package, but they ran to that quickly because George W. Bush told them to. So they don't get a pass here. I mean, now that they've had a couple of days to study this sham of a bill, and because they've got a party in total control that's not their own, now they're happy to oppose it. But when it was their fearless leader, oh, no, they didn't dare. So, you know, spare me the heroism. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to give out trophies because House Republicans finally did the right thing. And 11 Democrats, that shouldn't be ignored. There were 11 Democrats, believe it or not. I'd like to look them up individually that said no to this today. 30% of this is pork. So you Obama people, you've been lied to. At least 30%, maybe more, is nothing but earmarked pork barrel spending. And he promised. He promised. He's Obama. His word is his honor. He's gold. He can do no wrong. He promised us he'd veto any legislation for stimulus that had earmarks in it. Well, it's loaded up. Better get the veto pen ready, Barry. This has nothing to do with jobs. It was a power grab. Political stimulus. Shovel-leaning, not shovel-ready. There is virtually no infrastructure spending in this bill. And by the way, in the last call before the break, Greg, who's a nice guy, plumber, I asked him, what does this do? How does this stimulate anything? Infrastructure, he said. Do you know how long it takes to build a road? I'm going to ask that question again. Have you been in a community for any length of time where they've tried to build a road or fix a bridge or do anything? Have you known any government on any level that does anything swiftly the size of a road or a bridge or a neighborhood or a sewer line? Well, at least it's coming, Chris. At least it's coming. All right, but I thought it was going to put people back to work now. I thought people were ready to go dig the hole now. I mean, how intellectually dishonest is this? How stupid do they think we are that we can't figure out that just because you say you're going to spend money on a project that literally will take years, perhaps decades of bureaucracy to achieve its start, do they honestly believe we see that as immediate stimulus or immediately putting people to work? Of course not. But then you're thinking people, and it's why they avoid the Savage Nation. All right, Rebecca, Kansas City. You're on the Michael Savage Show, The Savage Nation. Hi, Rebecca.
Rebecca, you know, I am very concerned about the stimulus package, but I'm more concerned about what I see as subtle signs of censorship. I see this, or I saw this, when Obama decided to call out and say, well, Rush Limbaugh, don't listen to him, which got the Democratic Party into a big hoo-ha, and now they have this thing on their site, because I had to go to it, where they want you to write an ugly letter to Rush Limbaugh.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, Rebecca. I know what you're saying. I get it. And look, sure, that's all part, but you're trying to marginalize talk radio in general, keep them on the sidelines, or get a bunch of infighting going. But even more to the point, here's something more sinister about the guy. It's not even that he's coming after you and Savage and listeners of talk radio. It's not even that. It's something even more sinister than that. Did you see when he walks through the White House press corps?
the press pool the other day. He's walking through, and somebody, I don't know, it was from Politico, dared ask the guy a question, dared say, hey, what about your anti-lobbyist policy? You just appointed another lobbyist. What's the story there? What's he do? He puts his hand on the guy's shoulder and stares him down. I mean, it's the kind of thing you'd see in the back alley of a suburb, you know, an urban Chicago neighborhood. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds, maybe he's all too familiar with the move. So he puts the hand on the guy's shoulder and stares him in the eye. And he says, now, wait a minute here. In his cool, calm voice, I can't come down here and be friends with you guys. I can't come down here and mingle. If you're going to start asking me questions, now how do you expect us to get along if you're going to question my every decision? I'd like to come down here and just visit. Well, dutifully, the rest of the press corps swirled around him, and one guy even utters the statement, let me say it one more time, Mr. President. It's nauseating, and it's not just him. When you've got virtually every member of the media ready to go along in full step, Let me revisit the story. The New York Times just yesterday writes this story about the formerly government-controlled press of Iraq, now free to practice on their own, but they're pining away for the days when under Saddam Hussein, journalists were well paid and well taken care of and had great government benefits. They're writing it almost as though it's an editorial to Obama. Don't doubt me. Don't doubt for a second what's coming. The New York Times and all these haphazard, weak, poorly put together, left-leaning, unread newspaper, these rags, they would love nothing more than to stick their hand out and have a stimulus check sent their way. They'd love government infusion of money. They'd love government ownership of the print. I mean, what's it matter to them? They're already spewing the company line, so what's a few bucks on top of it? Doesn't matter to them. They're excited about it. The ideas of freedom of the press and that they're the referee, it's gone. It's dead. It's done. And they're willing to do it, by the way. It's not just that he's coming after talk radio, the last bastion of anything that's intellectually honest and free to speak, but it's that so much more media is already willing, for the cost of nothing, to be in the bag for the guy. Imagine if they get a couple of bucks, and I'm telling you that's coming. Watch it. It's coming. Brad's in Tucson. Let's go to Tucson next to talk to Brad on the Savage Nation. Hi, Brad. I'm Chris in for Michael tonight.
Hi, Chris. Great to talk to you this evening. You know, what you were just talking about is what I wanted to mention. Is I'm so sick of the liberal media. Every day, I look at my news online. I go online, if I go to CNN or USA Today, CNN seems to be the absolute most gut-wrenching, sickening type of place because they always have some numerous stories, actually, about Obama, and it's always some fluffy, I think today was a neat balancing act in his first days in office. Neat. I mean, what amazes me, I guess, it's sickening to see, it is very disturbing to see the media is so in bed with someone like this, but most importantly, whether they're Republican or Democrat, there's so many people today that are putting their great hope in that.
Brad, thank you. You know, it's frightening. I mean, it is. It's not. I have never. I ask again. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I said, "Do you suppose he would have had the swooning and the screaming and the wetting of the pants and the whole thing, the rock concerts, if his chant was 'Yes, I can'? Yes, I can.' Because that's what this is about, really. When you think about it, yes, I can." Trust me, get behind me, yes, we can was a ruse. Yes, I can. That's what it should have been. It should never have been we. Or yes, he can. You Obama people, how would you feel about a sticker that said yes, he can? I'm sure some of you have it. And I just wonder how many of you have scraped the head of Obama off your bumper now? The multicolored sticker of the Obama head. How bizarre has this become? How frightening is it in the United States of America? We live in a country where people were putting a logoed head of a politician on their bumper. Has anything like this in your life? Have we ever seen anything before or since like it? It's alarming. And I just wonder, where are you today? Where are you button wearers? Where are you flag wavers? Where are the bumper stickers? They're quietly being scraped off because the tide is turning already. 10 days in, the guy's a liar. Yes, I can. That should have been his slogan. Not we, I.
Pennsylvania. Gene, I'm Chris, in for Michael. This is the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. I have a question. Just say that the $800 billion contained all good things. I mean, it was all for jobs and so forth. What good would it do if it's printed at the Treasury?
Well, that's just it. We're printing money. It's old school inflation. It's, you know, wheelbarrows full of cash to buy bread. That's absolutely where we're headed, Gene. Greg, Venice, Florida. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I'm just incensed, to be honest with you. Obama has just taken everything and turned it into a downward spiral. I'm being told at work I'm lucky that I have a job as I'm taking a 20% pay cut. And these liberals in Washington are just going crazy with our money. And
No, Greg, that is, you know what, that's supposed to be inspiring. That is the new line. That's the new way to think, Greg. Aren't you lucky to just be working? That's what these SOBs want. They want all of you thinking, aren't you lucky just to be making a little something? Because that's all they want you to aspire to, Greg. Just be grateful you got a little something, because the federal government can always give you a little something. But it's when you get uppity, Greg. It's when you want to get out there and individualize yourself. It's when you want to go out and make $250,000, $300,000, $400,000, when you want to make $1 million. That's when you've gotten too big for your bread. That's when you need to be drug up on Capitol Hill. Why are you out there making so much money when there's so much suffering? Greg, aren't you lucky? Aren't you fortunate just to have a job? No. What we'd be fortunate to have is a government out of our way cutting our taxes across the board, getting out of our way and giving our money back to us. That's what would make us lucky. That's what would make us fortunate. And our employers wouldn't say condescending things like, hey, just be glad I can afford to keep you around. You wouldn't have employers saying things like that to you if, in fact, they didn't have the burdensome tax structure they have on them, if they weren't told they're making too much money and that there are people out there that need that money because there's this new business model called wind farms or whatever the hell crazy concoction they've come up with that they think's the new way. Or, hey, car companies, here's some money. I know your model's failing today, but how about this? Here's a check. Why don't you go make a bunch of tin can cars nobody will drive? That might work. We'll take it from the successful companies, and we'll give it to these failed companies. We'll reward the losers and punish the winners. And you just be glad, Greg, you've got a job. Yeah, God bless America. Thanks a lot. Chris Stegall, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. $119 billion of our dollars. It's up to you, Senate. What do you suppose they'll do? Hi, Chris Stegall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. And Michael, thanks again. I've just had a great deal of fun, and I'm glad to be here. The number, 800-449-TALK, 800-449-8255. The vote coming soon. And I, with John McCain leading the pack, we know where that went. Got a couple of dandies up there in Maine I'm thinking of already. What is it, Collins and Snow? Those two. You think they're going to vote no on the stimulus package? It needs every Republican. Every one of them has to say no if this stands any prayer to hold up. The Taliban endorsing Obama. This is the news item for me of the week, believe it or not. I know that $819 billion of taxpayer money should probably top my list, but actually top of my radar screen is that the Taliban issues a press release saying, way to go on the Gitmo thing, Barry. Mike's in San Francisco on the Savage Nation. Hi, Mike. I'm Chris in for Michael today.
Hello?
Mike, go ahead.
Oh, hey. No, I'm Mike in Grass Valley. I'm listening to you out of San Francisco. This is about this pig fat bill.
Right.
Okay. This pig fat bill, I heard one of Obama's cronies saying that all this infrastructure rebuilding will be, the people that will be excluded from this will be high-skilled white males. So I guess.
Hey, well, look, hey, Mike, you got to do what's right out there, man. You heard the Reverend. You heard him at the inauguration. That set the tone, man. That's the new Hope and Change tone. The Reverend that said he just, you know, the red man's trying to get ahead and the yellow, and he did the whole crayon box. And then, you know, when White's just out there and they'll do what's right. Mike, when you and me and Whitey starts to turn around and do what's right, maybe you'll get one of those shovel leaning jobs. So keep your fingers crossed. Let's go to Green Bay. Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, Chris, hello from Packer Country. Always happy when you sit in for Michael. You know, Chris, we hear all this about that the infrastructure has been not taken care of these last few years. But you know what, Chris? For example, our gas taxes here in Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin makes more on a gallon of gas than ExxonMobil. That money is supposed to go to roads and bridges, but they use it to help balance the budget. So they're really the ones that are responsible for our infrastructure not being taken care of.
Yeah, it's a state issue, Paul. The infrastructure, you know, gone are the days of Ike and the internet, you know, interstate highway system. Let's get beyond that and realize that you're absolutely right. State legislatures handle individual infrastructure. And you know who's handling? Well, there are actually maybe a dozen states out there. North Dakota comes to mind right away as a state. Actually has a tremendous surplus. You know why? They diversified. They handled their money like you'd expect stewards of taxpayer money to handle it, like you'd handle your own checkbook, Paul. There are some states that are afloat out there. Oh, Virginia, another one. You know, you want to know why Virginia's so solvent? Guess. It ain't wind, Paul. It's coal. Coal's doing it, paving the way for those folks. So there are some states that are not only doing it well, they're being responsible with money, they're out there making it. They're turning and burning it. But everything they stand for, Paul, is in the way. It's in the way of a guy like Obama, because you have independent states with independent legislators and independent leaders and independent voters and thinkers with their own resources to sell and trade. That's too much power. And in this newly developed centralized central planning way of thinking, Paul, that can't happen. It can't happen in Green Bay or anywhere else. Jason, San Francisco, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Yes, hello. Actually, I live in Merced. I just listened to the San Francisco station. There was one thing about this pork bill that they're passing, and don't get me wrong, I am in no way in favor of it except for one thing only, and that is that $11.5 billion of it is supposed to go to the state of California for the infrastructure on the highways, bridges, wharfs, and docks. One of the ways that that actually benefits me is I happen to be a union member that actually builds and works on these bridges and these wharfs and docks.
Well, yeah, Phil, right. But before a dime ever comes your way, it's going to take a lot of bureaucracy to get it there. But moreover, you've still got problems. I said this earlier in the show. You got a state that's so strapped for cash, they're not going to give you tax refunds. They're going to hang on to it. I'm Chris, in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.